You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, welcome to the Beer Tour Guy Show, episode 34. I just verified that on my website to make sure I didn't sound completely stupid. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, owner-operator of Motor City Brew Tours. And today, all the way from Fenton, Michigan, I got two great guests with some awesome-looking bottles that they're kind of staring at right now. And they're going to introduce themselves, and we're going to kick off show 34.
All right. I'm Matt Sherrill. I'm a co-owner, founder of Fenton Winery and Brewery.
And I'm Ginny Sherrill, founder, co-owner, with my husband, Matt.
So you're founder, he's co-founder?
Yeah.
Both.
Sometimes my wife will say co-founder of Motor City Brew Tours because honestly, like, she has more input into it maybe than I do, even though I'm the one who runs it and she has a real job.
Yeah.
But I've started saying that a lot, like, you know, my wife and I run this. Now, in your case, you guys really do both run it. Like,
yeah,
this is where it's at.
Yeah, this is full time for both of us. When we first started back in 2007, it was my full time. And she was still doing some side work with
certified financial planner.
Yeah, certified financial planning.
I said your website was really good, so I was able to look all this up to remind myself of things I probably should have known because I've known you guys for a long time.
Yeah, so it was a few years before she ended up coming on full time, but now it is
out of necessity.
Out of necessity and the growth that we had.
So let's start back then, 2007. So you were an auto engineer.
Yep.
Right, prior. So you like tinkering with stuff.
Yep. Grew up playing with Legos like a lot of engineers do. Loved Legos. And my father had been an engineer, and I just kind of grew up around that. And I knew when I went to college I wanted to be an engineer. So I ended up going to what's now Kettering University in Flint. Got my engineering degree. And shortly after that, we moved to South Carolina, where I started my first full-time engineering job, designing plastic injection molds.
Okay. How exciting is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Completely different than what we're doing now. But yeah, any plastic part I look at now, I can't help but think about the tooling that it takes to build that. It's still ingrained in me because I did that for so long.
I think part of that is because that's where you started. And that's what, you know, you did right out of college. Yeah. Like, I worked in the consumer packaged goods business out of college, and I sold basically paper products to the retail sector. I can't go into a store without analyzing the store set.
Yeah.
It drives my wife crazy because we'll be traveling. We'll be on vacation, right? Like, I just want to go look at, like, blah, blah, quick. You know, or we'd be in Europe or something. And I do the same thing, right? And I haven't had that job in, like, same thing, like, a long time. Like, 20 years ago I did that job, now it seems like. But yet I still feel that way when I look at stuff.
Yeah, and even, you know, once we have two kids – growing up, they loved playing with Legos too, naturally. And
did you still have your original Legos?
Well, yeah, like, I still
yeah,
have
usually
them.
That's how it works. My parents did too, and they gave them to my niece and nephews.
Yeah, my twin brother and I were both into Legos. I ended up inheriting the whole thing because he doesn't have kids, so they're all at my house. And well, my kids ended up using them, and I still, you know, when we'd play with them, I'd pick them up, and because they're all plastic injection molded parts, so I'd look at every part and figure out how it was put together and the molds.
That is kind of dorky.
It is. But, and I would talk to my kid about it. Well, now he wants to be an engineer. He's going to do –
well, I analyze school. Money. That's what I analyze.
But what a good combo, I think. Yes. Right? I get to meet lots of husband-wife teams. And I guess it kind of depends on the age range of them to like how that's played out over time. But the more successful ones, I think – someday I'll have to like add up how many we have in the beer industry just in Michigan.
Couples?
Couples.
We have a lot.
It's a lot.
There's a lot of them. Yeah.
Right? I would say you guys are probably one of the first husband-wife teams in the beer industry.
Yeah,
I would say
Matt and Renee would probably be.
Oh, you know what? That's a good point. Arbor Brewing Company.
They were around a long time before us. But
yeah, that's
great
true.
Company.
They're 92. Oh, they're really old school. Yeah, that's true. So you're like wave two of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, wave two was mostly that then. I'll bet you if we looked at it that way, wave two of breweries in early 2000s was tons of husband-wife teams, just like Witch's Hat.
Yep.
Yeah, like we were just talking, we were number 87 in the state.
Wow. So you made it under the 100.
Under the 100.
So you think about that. 2007, we were still under 100. And now in 2020, we're 350 plus. Yeah. We don't know the exact number.
400,
yeah. Like, wow. Like a lot of states, but Michigan was kind of, I always say, ahead of that versus other states like, say, Ohio and others that have really exploded the last couple years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we were probably 5-6 years ahead of what Ohio's doing.
I think so, too. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's why we're so awesome in Michigan. Yeah. That's why I run Motor City Brew Tours in Michigan. Yeah. We have been, right? Like, I feel like an elder in all of this now as I meet younger people, and now I have competitors that are doing similar things to what I'm doing, and they're kind of coming in a market that's matured and happened. Yeah. And when all of us started this, I started in 2009, you started in 2007. What a different place it was.
Yeah, we have people say that to us, that we've been around a while. And we've actually helped a lot of other breweries kind of open up. We're always open doors. So come do a tour with us and walk with us, and we'll share insight and whatnot.
Yeah, things we've learned along the way. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot that have come to us. And so how do you guys do it? You know, can we see your operations? And like you said, we're an open book. We're willing to help because we've been in the industry for so long.
But it feels so surreal because I don't feel like we've been doing this for
it doesn't, right? Like if you look, if you talk to someone who said, I just worked for this company for 50 years, and you're like, okay, now that's a long time.
Yeah.
Right? As opposed to we started in 07 and now it's 2020.
Yeah.
And you know, we're rocking, but still, that's not really that long time. Like my first job out of college I had for 10 years.
Right.
So now I'm here and I'm over 10 years into what I'm doing.
Yeah, we just celebrated 12 years, and I think it feels that way just because there's been such an expansion in the industry in general. So that's why it seems like we're kind of the older generation, even though it's only 12 years old.
Yeah, and that's amazing, you know. But then you talk to someone like, you know, Arbor Brewing, Matt and Renee, or if you talk to someone in Detroit, like I work with Motor City Brewing Works, you know, they started then too. And, you know, they go way back. They've seen all kinds of cycles of business. And think where you're going to be at that point.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You're going to have, you know, triple the staff, right? How about 100 staff, not 30 plus? What are you guys, about 30-ish?
We're 32 employees.
Okay.
Yeah. That's amazing. Loving every minute of it.
That's amazing to me. Every time I talk to you, I'm just like, great growth.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. So we're back in 2007.
Yeah.
Eventually you guys open in a strip mall and you're really Fenton Winery at this point. Yep. You didn't add beer till what, a couple years later and you bought a small system to do that?
Yeah. We officially opened Fenton Winery January of 2008, and it wasn't until December 2009 that we were licensed as a brewery. So that's when we became Fenton Winery. And we had, shortly after starting the winery, you know, I started just home brewing at home, and it got to the point I was making, I loved it, and I'd share it with people. And like, you know, I have a winery. Why not add this to the business that already exists? And we could see in the clientele that we'd come in, it was primarily women at the time. And then they would bring in husbands or, you know, girls' night out and stuff.
Yep.
We saw an opportunity where we add the beer, you could blend it.
So the initial model was really a winery, wine on site. Make wine, come in and make wine, design your own label, that kind of business model, essentially.
Yep. Yeah. And we wanted to add that, add a wine bar feel to it.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. So we always, anytime we did the design, it was always, we wanted to create a place that we would want to hang out on a Friday night if we weren't working there.
Right.
And so we just kind of created that and said, just come and make your own wine. We'll create a wine bar. And we eventually started adding little, you know, cheese and crackers and things like that. And built from that, and then eventually added beer in December 2009.
And okay, and then you outgrew that space.
Yeah.
And then a ginormous 1.25-acre monstrosity came your way, kind of north of town, right?
Came our way.
Came your way. You like how I'm saying it? I don't know.
It just like fell
I don't know how else to say it. I guess I don't know how else to say it. Well, why don't you tell me how you would say it? How would you say it?
Yeah,
that?
We actually, from the strip mall,
say it was a giant, ginormous leap of faith.
Yeah, okay.
And maybe a pure grit determination and a little bit of silly.
Okay.
Yeah, prior to that jump, when we started in the strip mall, we were in a little 2,100 square foot space.
And on that note, I'm going to pour some wine.
Yeah, you should pour some wine after saying that.
A little bit silly.
The company next to us moved out. It was an engineering company. They're looking to downsize. So we actually expanded into that space and ended up having about 5,000 square feet.
Okay.
So, and we took over that space about 2010, 2011. And then it was 2012 that our current building kind of presented itself, and we made the giant leap of faith, going from this small space to a 19,000 square feet of space.
Just 19,000.
Yeah, five acre property. So it was.
I'll admit, I was a little surprised the first time I read it, heard it, looked at it. I don't think I came in right away.
Well, so many people said we were crazy, but you know what? A lot of people said we were crazy when we first opened our doors, too.
I'm sure they did.
Who's going to open a winery in Fenton? Come on.
Yeah.
You're not going to survive. There's no one can make money doing that.
That's kind of that typical story.
Yeah. But
what people say.
When we saw this building, you know, it was like, that would be really cool. It's something it had been closed for 3 years.
Yeah, something. Honestly,
and it was a lumber, a woodworking business, correct?
Yeah, it was a woodworking business prior to us.
Yeah. Yeah, I remembered that much without looking at the
website. Yeah, he would come home from work and say, you know that building out on Long Lake Road? Have you ever taken a real look at that place? Oh, man, that is like a dream come true for us. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Honey. Can we just keep the strip mall location open right now?
Yeah. Are you trying to give me gray hair or something like that? You had to be thinking that in your head at that point, right?
But we made it work. We went to Citizens Bank at the time. That was our local bank. I'm no longer around, but they just, you know, because it's a local bank, they believed in us, and we were able to convince them to give us a loan so that we could bid on that place, which went up for auction, believe it or not.
It went up for auction. Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
It had been for sale from 2009 to 2012, and the price was just too high.
Okay.
It was way past our range, anything that we thought could do. And then one day, because it's very close to our other location, only 2 miles away, and one day I'm driving by, you know, the for sale sign's there, but all of a sudden over top of it was this auction.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So did he just start speeding home to go talk to you at that point?
Before I did
got
that.
Got on his cell phone?
Yeah, and I said, let me see what I can get the bank to do.
Started live streaming from there with his head over the sign talking
before
to you.
I sped home, I turned around, stopped, took a picture of it. Then I sped home, got on the website and got some information, and they were asking – the bid was starting at half of what they had been asking
for.
Oh,
my God. What a difference.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, it was like, that could be doable. That could be doable.
Yeah.
That's when Citizens Bank stepped in.
Wow.
They had been coming to us for a long time while we were in our strip mall. And they were customers. One of the branch managers was a really good customer.
Yeah.
And they kept asking us, you know, what can we do to get your business? We want your business. Great company. What can we do? So –
we're like, hey.
we put this in front of them and said, look,
sorry.
This is
– I just upped her volume too much there. That was my fault. All right. You're all right. Don't get too
really,
excited.
Got really excited.
I know it's a cool thing. It's cool.
So, yeah, we call them out on it. We call them out on it and said, if you want to work with us, this is what we want. And we showed them.
Oh, wow.
Within what 3 days, 4 days, they had an offer letter for us. Said, you can
– he said, you can bet the minimum. Let's just hope no one else.
They gave us.
Let's hope no one else bids.
They gave us just enough to cover with.
Holy
the
crap! Oh, okay. So you were nervous that someone else was going to come in.
We were all in on the first bid, and if somebody
the cards
else
were
had,
out there,
yeah. If somebody else bid and it was higher than what they had given us, then we'd say, you know what, it wasn't meant to be. But 5 minutes to the end of the bid close, you know, this is like eBay on steroids, because you're not just buying a little trinket, you're buying a very large property.
Right.
So 5 minutes before, you know, we had a glass of wine,
we
probably a couple glasses.
To the very last minute.
And it had a, you know, submit bid button. We submitted the minimum, the floor, and just sat back and, you know, 5 minutes went and extended the time.
That's
another 5 minutes.
Crazy.
So
I know.
And all of a sudden it's like,
you won.
Bid. So we're like,
wow.
Great. And then we look at each other like, what the
what
hell
did we just do?
Then it sunk in. We just committed to this.
Yeah. And then it sends us an email, you know, I have 48 hours to deposit.
Wire them 20%
of the cost.
Really?
Which we didn't know.
Oh, shit.
We literally asked every friend.
Yeah. Friends.
How would you know that, though? I would have known that.
We had
20 or 48.
You couldn't send that through your PayPal account, is what you're telling me, right? You didn't have that linked in to the bidding process.
Yeah,
that's a little different than me, like, bidding on some beer memorabilia on eBay and getting outbid at the last second.
Yeah. Right? We had 48 hours to submit 20% of the purchase price.
Oh, my God.
And we pulled it off. It wasn't easy. Made a lot of phone calls. Some family stepped in and
wow. some regular stuff.
Some regular, some customer
really?
Stuff
really?
That helped us out and gave us a loan and said, you know, pay us back when you can.
Yikes.
So okay. it was, now that was really the first time we'd use anybody else's money for part of our venture. So that was a little scary in itself because we'd never had anybody else's
right.
money on the line. It'd always been.
Right. In the strip center, you'd made it yeah. happen yourself. You bought all equipment supplies.
It ourselves.
Yeah.
We did it all ourselves. So that's the first time outside money came in to help us with this loan.
I have to admit, I have no experience with that because I run a tour business where I don't need a lot of capital.
Yeah.
So except for personal savings at it's going to seem like peanuts compared to what you have gone through here.
It's amazing how capital intensive winemaking and brewing is. It's,
yeah. I think a lot of people don't understand that about yeah. it. They just like, oh, you're in there making stuff and people yeah. are buying it all the time. So you must just have money just flowing in like crazy.
Yeah.
Not
you got to
sell a lot of pints of beer.
You got to sell a lot, right?
Yeah,
you got to keep selling. That's the key.
And, yeah. You sit back and realize how many pints of glass or how many glasses of wine have to cross this bar to pay for all this stuff. Not just the, you know, the stainless steel tanks obviously cost a lot of money, but then we have a mortgage, we have employees, we have lights, you know, big property, the electricity bill is
right.
extremely high.
There's so taxes on that property.
Yeah. Yep. So you there's, take all that in. It's
there's
a,
crazy
it's a
stuff
lot.
That the yeah. city did to make it challenging for the other part yeah. of this, although
yeah,
we didn't that, get to that part yet, but
yeah,
I just know that because I know you. So yikes. Wow. Yeah. So the original plan was always to use everything on the property, right? Like that's how you always visioned
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So we wanted to maximize the property for, you know, use it all so that the people could enjoy it. Right away when we closed on the property, it was kind of amazing. We had community members call us and congratulate us. And we had the original builder call us right away and congratulate
wow.
us.
Wow.
And we knew right away that we really had something special in that property, that it was really a gem of the community. They also cherished it and appreciated it. So we want to make sure and use the whole property so it could be enjoyed. We originally thought we were going to put the tap room in the giant cedar building.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Until one of those phone calls that came early on asked if they could get married there.
Ah.
And then we're like,
okay.
Whoa.
Yeah, and then the second phone call comes in because initially that was never
okay,
in the
so that wasn't the plan.
That was not
okay.
the plan. Yeah, we originally going to have the restaurant, the tap room in the front building, which is now our banquet facility. And the back was going to be for production.
But and storage and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we started okay. getting those phone calls almost immediately.
Yeah.
We really hadn't even publicized the fact that we bought this property. It just became public. We didn't do it. But we started getting those phone calls initially. Like, no, we don't do weddings. But a couple more of those calls came in and said, you know, and it makes you step back. And like, maybe this is telling us something that maybe we should open a banquet facility. So we started doing our research. And we've always had a very fluid business plan.
Yep.
And that's how we've survived so long, is this fluid business plan. We saw this opportunity.
It is the way you survive.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a good business lesson there is to be fluid like that.
Yeah.
It's a great statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we opened in the recession, so we learned that
right.
fluid
same here.
Was
yep.
the way to go.
I've made lots of it. If I was only doing bus tours, I'd be out of business right now.
Yeah.
Right? When I pivoted in my business model to be more flexible, mm-hmm. I guess,
yeah.
like – 40% of my business last year was something I didn't originally start the business with.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's what they always tell you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what you did, basically.
Yeah. You do what you got to do to survive. And
so what percentage is the – so I didn't mean cut yeah. you out. So what percentage then is hosting weddings and events now of
believe
the business?
Not,
you don't have to give me a dollar amount, but like a percentage of the business.
It's still less than 50%.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Tap room is still – more than 50%.
That's spectacular. Oh, I love hearing that. Okay, I would have thought it was different. I would have thought it was like 60% weddings, 40%
well,
everything else.
I think a lot of people, and I think even our staff forget sometimes that the carryout is a huge number for us.
Okay.
The carryout yeah. wine and the carryout beer, that's so still a very
is
large
that because
portion.
Of the area?
Maybe so, the area, or that's been a part of our business since day one.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
So you always had customers that were coming in and buying bottles of wine
yep.
and bottles of beer or growlers to go and things like that. And you just carry that over and now you have a larger range of things you offer,
mm-hmm.
which makes that even better.
Mm-hmm.
And there really isn't – it's not like there's a ton of those options in Fenton.
Right. Yeah. So, it's still less than 50%. However, I mean, our goal for 2020 is to maximize capacity for the venue. We're about 60% capacity.
Wow. Okay. But that's awesome for something that wasn't originally in the plan.
Yeah. This will be our fifth summer.
Okay.
With that part of the business.
Well, you'd have to look at it like that, wouldn't you? Fifth summer.
Yeah. We hosted our first wedding in 2015.
Okay.
So we started slowly adding weddings, and now it's a significant part of our business.
I mean, I follow you guys on Facebook and Instagram, so like I see pictures posted constantly. Yeah. I'm always impressed by it.
Oh, of like, people love pictures of the wedding.
Yeah.
Venue.
I mean, I had on the other show, I'm part of the Berkeley Chamber here, one town over from Royal Oak where we're taping today. And I do a show called Berkeley Local, which is a podcast of businesses there. And last month I had on a wedding shop, and the conversations were amazing of how her business has grown and how you have to include everything in that, right? Mm-hmm. And how they do parties in there and how they need to know of great places where that customer who's buying that dress could go have a wedding shower at or a party at or actually get married at. You guys can do all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we were
you should have a bridal shop next door.
When we were rethinking our business plan and adding the banquet venue to it, we decided that we wanted to be an all-inclusive to make it easier. We in the strip mall, we'd always kind of miss the food portion. And so this was the opportunity to add a full kitchen. It would justify if we could do large scale banquets at the same time of doing our tap room. It justified the kitchen.
Yeah. Because that's a big expense.
Yeah. Cabinet kitchen's big expense, not just in equipment, but the staff that needs to run.
Right.
It is a significant expense.
I mean, you have a head chef.
Yeah, we do. Yes.
I saw that because you updated all those pictures correctly on your website.
Whoops. We do. Yep. And Chris has been with us since we bought the building. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. He designed all those fabulous pizzas and.
Oh, man. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can't wait next summer to bring out another bike tour group. I think that's what I told you last. I want to do it like every other year. For folks who don't know or listening to this, I do this great ride out of Fenton Winery and Brewery every other year called Tour de Hops, where we bike from their space out to Top Hops Hop Farm in Goodrich. And then we come back and we have these awesome pizzas and everyone gets a pint of beer or has some wine. And then last summer, we had that perfect weather.
I know. Gorgeous, we were outside.
Right? We were kind of due considering the previous – actually, probably both of the previous ones. Although the first one was crazy. Yeah. I'll never forget the first time we did that X years ago and it was totally raining. It was nasty. And you guys showed up and you're all good spirits, right? And I showed up and my wife was out of town. I was a little off because I had another bike tour that my other guide was doing in the city of which I was canceling that in my car as I'm driving out to Fenton. And, and all this crap's going on. Then I show up, I'm like, no one's going to be there. And yet like half the people I think showed up. Considering we had 30 or 40 sold, about 15 or 20 showed.
Yeah, I remember and then it was cold and wet.
It was cold and wet. And it was muddy. Yeah. I remember because we got you brought out like a garden hose or something. And at the end, we were like washing off because everyone needed to get their bikes and themselves kind of washed off.
In the tap room.
You really didn't. But our original plan was, well, I'll be outside in your gorgeous beer garden space. It'll be perfect, right? And of course the weather, and that's how life goes and whatever. The first two we kind of had inside, but this last one we did was outside, and it was exactly how we always kind of envisioned the event to be. And
we
and
love it when the
good.
Weather is nice because we have over acre space outside and I spend a lot of time on the gardens, and we love it when the weather's nice because people can enjoy that. They can bring their dogs out. We put a fire pit in there last summer, so it's pretty awesome.
I don't remember if I had seen that or not.
Yeah, so we took that space that had all that pea gravel.
Yeah.
That is all brick pavers now. Okay. And then we extended it a little bit on one side and added about a 38-inch fire pit with benches that we set up around it. So it's great. So in those cool nights, in the fall and the spring, you sit out there. And
something about
great
staring
fire.
At a fire.
Yeah.
I'm drinking a beer and have a glass of wine.
Chills you out big time. You won't be talking about those other things we're not going to talk about on this show, right? I'm trying to get you revved up more now. That's my fault. I shouldn't do that. That's how you know I've been married a long time, and you guys have been married a while too. So, like, we share in
probably our marriage is old enough to drink this year.
It, yeah. Ooh, oh, yeah. Wow, really? Yeah. Yeah. Okay,
May 1st, it'll be old enough to drink.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, I'm 18 years in August. Okay. Ooh, am I saying that right? Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying that right. Okay, I'm an 02. Yeah. Okay. Wow. So old enough to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
That's our 2020 joke.
So then you said your oldest, is it your son?
Yeah, oldest son.
Son and daughter, right?
We have
two sons. Okay.
Yeah, we have one who's a senior in high school at Holly High School.
Okay.
And he's going to be graduating in May and going to Kettering University for mechanical engineering.
Pretty awesome. A legacy. Yeah. Do you get a discount?
Actually, you can get a scholarship. You don't get a discount, but you can get a scholarship legacy because it's I went there, my twin went there, and my dad went there. So he's actually a third generation.
Okay.
Chero going
you have a
there.
Twin?
I do. Huh. I'm surprised you haven't met him.
I feel like I have.
He probably did.
Wait. because you do have a twin because – oh, this is a funny story. Now it's – I just realized this. So he has a Chinese wife, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One year, I saw him at the Summer Beer Fest with her, but it was a little distance, so I didn't say anything, and I thought it was you.
Yeah.
And then I didn't see you, right? So then I thought, that's weird. And then I saw you later, and then I don't know. I didn't put any of it together until right now, and that was like 4 years ago. I just remember like telling my friend, like, I don't know, like he was with a Chinese girl. And they seem real happy together. But I didn't say nothing. Oh, shit. Okay, well.
This happened so many times. So
okay.
Yeah,
like someone sent in a message like, are you guys doing all right? Is that really cool? I know the next time I saw the two of you, you're having a good time. It looks cool. And then I just forgot that I made that weird observation.
Yeah, so he's officially known around Fenton as Not Matt.
Not Matt.
That's Not Matt.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome.
Well, because we live in the same town.
Okay. Oh, that must happen constantly.
So a funny story related, very similar to that. When we first didn't realize what was going on, we first found out it was years ago. But there's a local place, a local smokehouse by our place called Beale Street Smokehouse. And they live in Fenton as well. So he's around all the time.
Okay.
Well, he and his wife, Sue Lee, are at dinner one night, you know, in the corner, just having drinks. And the owner, who knows us very well, was behind the bar. And he looks out and sees Not Matt sitting with this Chinese woman for dinner. And she's wondering why. You know, why is Matt here with a Chinese woman and where's Jenny? So she's freaking out a little bit and tells us the next day what happened. Eventually, she got talking to him that night and realized that that's not Matt. And it's actually.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, I feel a lot better.
It's
now.
Happened so many times.
So that's happened numerous times around town. So he goes along with it. He knows. He knows it happened. Knows a lot of people come up and talk to him like he's the owner of Fenton Winery Brewery. So sometimes he'll play along with it and won't let you in on it. And other times he'll let you know.
But, wow, what a rare occasion that you were not Matt was a little too far away that I didn't walk up and do that because I usually would.
Yeah,
I'd make an effort to it because I like catching up with you guys. Oh, that's so funny. Okay, now I don't feel so stupid.
Yeah.
All right. Wow, what a small world. Okay, so what are we drinking now? I know what we're drinking, but I'm just asking you to say it.
I know. So this is we start with wine, right? So I opened our 12-year anniversary Red Zin. Because that's our favorite. But I decided to go into the beer side of the business. But this one is actually a fusion beer. So it is Swingin' Berries, and it is a double cream stout brewed with blackberry Merlot.
Wow.
So it's wine and beer.
So you guys have had kind of a little bit of a series of this, what I'd call a hybrid style.
Yeah.
Right? That's unique to the fact that you're a winery and brewery.
Yeah. So we call it a fusion beer. It's FWB Fusion Series, and we've got three or four of them. And this one was the original.
This is the one I've had a few times,
for sure.
Yeah,
this one's been around the longest. It's on year-round.
Really tasty.
And the other ones are more seasonal. But this one sticks around all the time. And we call it my lawnmower beer because this is the one where I'm out mowing our yard at home, and my mind wanders. It's easy to mow a lawn. You're sitting in a riding tractor. My mind wanders, and I got to thinking, how can I bring the two sides of our business together? How can I do that? You know, we do beer, we do wine. It's like, you know what? What if I fermented them together? and we'll start turning. So, you know, I went in and started making a recipe. And the first time I brewed, this was just a little 5 gallon, turned out phenomenal. So what we do without giving away too much is we actually ferment our wine in the winery, ferment our beer in the brewery, let them go. And when they hit a certain point
you
in
blend
specific
them.
Gravity, we take the wine and blend it into the beer. But unlike other places that sometimes will blend finished products together, ours are still actively fermenting.
So you
you take that wine, put it in the beer. Now the beer yeast reacts to all the sugar that's coming in from the wine and starts essentially a third fermentation.
Okay.
So you get the beer reacting to the wine. Wine yeast is reacting to the beer, and you wait a few weeks and out comes swinging berries.
It doesn't say fermented 3 times on there.
triple
hop brewed, yeah. Fermented 3 times.
Yeah,
the way you explained it sounded way cooler than that. So,
and I don't know. I like that triple fermented.
Do you, right? You might put that on there. Triple fermented swinging berries.
So, yeah, and it was one where it was one of the few times the recipe just came out perfect. The percentages of each, the beer and wine, because it's a higher percentage beer. And because that wine's got a lot of flavor, and it's a blackberry Merlot, it's a semi-sweet, so it adds a lot of flavor. And if you overdo it, then all of a sudden all you're drinking is wine. But you want to get both of those. But the first time I did it, it was like a perfect percentage. So I've not changed the recipe since I first brewed it, other than I had to scale it up because the first time I did it was on a little five or 15 gallons, and now we're doing it, you know, 7 barrels at a time.
That's a big difference.
Big difference.
Yeah, we should talk about our brewery, actually.
Oh, we didn't even mention that.
Yeah.
You have a 7-barrel brew system.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, a 3-vessel, 7-barrel brew system. It's all electric.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's the first one. So the electric part of it, all the controls, the software is from Brewmation, which is on the East Coast, and all the tanks come from Stout Tanks. And they actually, Brewmation got together with Stout Tanks, and when we first started the brewery, it was a little 15-gallon half-barrel setup from Brewmation. Now they create this joint venture where one does the tanks and Brewmation does the software. So I was the first, or we were the first one to have a 7-barrel brewery from them, to the point where when I would call them with questions as I'm putting it together, I found out they had never actually gotten together and put it together themselves and realized that some of the fuses weren't big enough. Some of the things they hadn't thought about were popping up because I was literally the first one
right.
to actually put one of these together. And I would call them, hey, you know, this keeps – the pump keeps going out every time I turn it on. And they're asking quite like, well, the fuse isn't large enough. So it was kind of cool because it was the first one. There were some hurdles to jump over, but having a background in engineering, it came in handy because I was able to figure it out and move forward, and they shipped me some more parts.
And once the wife gave you the go ahead to spend that much money, because she's clearly the finance.
Because that was after we bought that building.
Yeah.
Because that had to be a big expense after you made that, right?
Yeah, after we bought this big building, the first thing we did is bought a big brewery. So it's like on top of what we've.
Although we used resources we already had, the electricity was already there. Because it used to be a woodworking.
Oh, yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. So the infrastructure was there. So that
it's not like it was a big room with no electric drops.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It helped define because, you know, you can do direct fire, you can do steam, you can do electric for your heat. And it really made it easy because I'd used electric before and it made it easy because all the power was there. Because they had sanders and all sorts of grinders and saws. So the power was there. We just had to reroute it and drop it into the control panel for the brewery. So it made that decision pretty easy. And then once we had that decision, then we went with Brewmation for the for the setup. And
it must be awesome having it all electric.
It is. It's got a lot of control. It's all touchscreen panel. Very easy to run. Now we've got a generator sitting outside. So technically, as long as nothing else, the generator can either run the entire building without the brewery, or if it had to, it could run the brewery. So we brew every Wednesday. So technically, if there were a power outage, it could run the brewery, but we would probably have to turn off.
Is that pretty much a necessity living out there that you'd have power outage issues?
We actually don't have a lot, but it really became essentially an insurance policy.
Sure.
Right. Was it at the weddings.
When you have weddings, what happens if the lights go out?
That's a big problem.
You can't cook food for 200 people, and now they've paid all this money.
You can't just say, I'm sorry.
Yeah, whoops.
We're not having your wedding.
So it literally was
look at each other in the dark.
So
So no, a generator was really an important piece of equipment.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
Because you got all these people have paid money for the food. We've got food we got to cook. If we can't cook it, then you know what are you gonna do? We're gonna have to start giving back all this money. And it was like, we need to just invest in a generator. Now we've had it with 2 full years. Mm-hmm. Maybe 3.
And the power hasn't gone out.
Power hasn't gone out. Got it. So
that's okay.
I think it's run one time during the week last year.
Okay.
I mean, but
oh,
it's
isn't
there.
That funny?
It fires up every Monday just to do a self-check. It runs for about 10, 15 minutes and then shuts down. And you don't think about it until it fires up the next Monday.
But yeah, my parents live in Shelby Township, and they have a generator, and mm-hmm. they've only used it once. Prior to that, they constantly had power outages. Yeah. It's one of those funny things, yeah. isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You would never. Once you buy the insurance, you don't need it.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But sure yeah.
Yeah. Lost my train of thought there. Sorry.
All right, now what should we talk about?
Whoa. We just lost our train of thought. Well, isn't that funny? Like, we were go, go, go. And I'm like, I hadn't even looked at my notes the whole time we were sitting here talking. And I'm like, shit.
Time to take a breath.
Yeah, whoa. That that doesn't happen that way all the time. So, what was I going to say? So, what's nice about having beer and wine, you have two different kinds of clubs. So, you have a mug club and a stem. Club. How
yes.
creative. Very kind of low entry prices, $45 a year if the website's updated to this, and $249 lifetime, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So gives you all those normal things you would think. Do you get do you have a lot of people in that club? Has that become another generator of keeping people loyal, I guess you could say?
The club has grown exponentially over the last few years, I would say, and more so the lifetime.
Yeah.
Than anything. So the lifetime members, their stems and mugs actually go on our bar back. So Matt actually just had to completely reorganize our bar back to make room.
Oh, yeah.
For all the stainless steel mugs and
what
the
a good problem
stems.
Though.
Yeah, yeah, it's great, and it looks great on the bar back too.
I always like your tasting room. I always like the look of it.
Thanks.
So I wish I lived closer. I don't. I'm pretty far. It's kind of like a special occasion.
Yeah.
If I can really get out that way. I think that's a challenge. It's not a challenge. It's a good thing. It's a great thing about living in Michigan and this side of Michigan, at least, is we have a lot of great places now like yours that have built some great character into
Thanks.
Them. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful thing to be able to take people to places like that. Mm. And it's funny that like it'll be rare if I bring a bus group in for a while, right? Because there's just so many places. And
yeah.
I've run into that the last couple of years. It'd be like, hey, thanks for hosting us again. I'll see you in like a couple of years. And then you kind of look at me like, what do you mean a couple of years? I'm like, wow, you know, there's like 50 some odd places I could do. And I don't run public bus tours constantly per se. So sometimes I create them because I haven't been to a place in a while.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like the day, this is what now, like, I don't know, 2 years ago, maybe. I can't remember when I came out. I want to say it was in November and it was a snowy day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the day someone clipped the bus on the way to your tasting room. I don't know if you knew that, remember that. Maybe I never even told you that.
I don't think you told us that.
What's the main road? That's Long Lake Road, right?
Long Lake is
Fenton
the main road.
Road
we're on.
Fenton Road, I'm sorry.
The intersection. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're coming on Fenton Road about to get to Long Lake. Like we're literally like – so there's the first subdivision before that.
Yeah.
Coming that way. And
– you're heading north on Fenton Road.
That sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And someone's coming – it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. And someone's coming out of a sub. I'm pretty sure it was a son that his dad was teaching him how to drive or something on some crazy snowy day. And he was in like a minivan and it was snowy and the bus was coming through going normal speed and the guy couldn't stop and he clipped part of the back of the bus. Didn't do anything to the bus, but he like took out the dude's bumper in the car. And then like the bus guy's like, holy shit. And he stops and we kind of get out and we're like, hey, we're about to pull in at Fenton Winery and Brewery. Why don't you just drive over there and my driver and you can do what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
So sure enough, that's what happened. Like Yeah, I want to say it was in November or December, like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago or something, right?
Well, we got lots of room in our parking lot.
Yeah, it was like the best scenario for that because there was all that room. Yeah. And I don't – you know, you guys weren't busy yet. Your customers probably didn't even notice anything went down.
And then being that close, then you can drop off all the guests. And,
yep. So everyone's kind of on the bus. It's like, I'm like, is everyone all right? Like, yeah, okay. And then we rolled in and everyone was ready to drink. And, you know, because think about it. We had driven all the way up there.
Right.
I don't remember the order I had for you guys. I don't remember if I did Northern Oak first, you guys second. I don't remember what I did on that. And then I did Parker's Hilltop. Mm-hmm. That was the three pack that's kind of going out there. And that was a lot of fun.
Good. I'm glad.
Wow. That is – well, I haven't had the double cream stout, the swinging berries in a while. I forgot how much I liked it. I usually have it when
rich.
I see it at festivals. It is.
Yeah, and it gets even better as it warms up. I mean, obviously it was warming up as we're driving down here, but it gets better. It's more flavors.
It's perfect with these glasses, too, because you're right. All that flavor comes out a lot better in there.
Yeah, and in the tap room, this is one that's on nitro. So if you have it in the tap room, we've got some lactose in here from the cream stout, and that really brings out the creaminess from that. So it's a different experience in the tap room. You can't get that in the bottle here, but being on nitro at the tap room.
I know I've had it on nitro. I probably had it last summer when I was in, for sure. Seems like a good summer beer for me, right?
Speaking of summer beer, so the last beer I had here is our Hans's Golden Triple.
So that's named after your dog.
It is named after
your awesome dog.
Yeah.
Love that guy. So our dog Hans is a rescue that we got at Adopt Pet in Fenton, and he's been with us. Well, in fact, the year we closed on the building, I started volunteering at Adopt a Pet because I thought, okay, I can bring my dog to work because I now own a place.
Yeah, plus being such a large property, and I wasn't there all the time, and we didn't have any employees working on that facility. If she's ever there by herself,
oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
We wanted her to have a dog that would. Could be there with her.
He looks like he could take care of business if he needed to.
He's the sweetest dog.
He really is the sweetest
dog.
When
he first meets you.
I mean, every time I've seen him, he's been real friendly to me. It's not like it's been a thing.
Yeah,
but.
He can scare you with his bark. But once you get to know him, he's super sweet and just wants you to pet him. And he hangs out by mom and dad constantly.
So for those of you that can't see the picture of him and I'm only hearing this, he's a German Shepherd.
I'll take a picture of him and I'm going to post it to our Instagram later. At MotorCityBrewTours.com, we'll tag Fenton Winery and Brewery on that, which you totally can't see that.
So we love supporting local charities, especially, and we actually support Adopt a Pet in Fenton for all the work they did with Hans and all the work they do with all the other rescues in the area.
Oh, that's great.
And interesting enough, even though Adopt a Pet is in Fenton, they actually support all around the state. Hans actually came from Detroit metro area.
Oh, okay.
So, other organizations will call Adopt a Pet, and they will go out and take in and rescue dogs from all around the state. So it's pretty amazing organization. So we support them for all the good work that they've done. And Hans now has been with us for 8 years, and I could not imagine my life without him, honestly.
Yeah,
and I don't think our staff would either. He comes to work with us every day. He's in the office.
Well, when I was looking up on your About Us, and you had all your staff pictures on there, and I saw like Brew Dog Hans, you know, and I'm like, okay, so I could talk about the dog because like I knew you had a dog, and then I'm like, I don't want to like be on air and ask you about your dog. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, he passed away last year, and then there's that uncomfortable pause, and I'm like, let's talk about something not that, you know. But you had a picture of him on there. Yeah. I mean, it's even what is the hashtag? It's in my notes somewhere, like hashtag Brew Dog Hans.
Yeah, Brew Dog Hans.
Somewhere up here. Okay, there we go. Brew Dog Hans.
Yep. So he comes in the office with us every day, and days when he's not there, everyone's asking, "Well, where's Hans?
Where's the dog?
Yeah, where's Hans?"
That totally makes sense.
But, you know, our beer garden's dog friendly, and we use him as the ploy out there when we take all the photos and stuff. So to attract others with their dogs to come hang out. He loves other dogs. Loves them.
Dog pitchers and then, like, dogs and beer pitcher combos or happy people. I'll just say happy people without saying cute girls because I don't want to get in trouble. With dogs and beer, or like the hit for Instagram. Yeah. Like, if I ever post something like that, which I almost never do. I should, right? That's probably the tip, right?
Yeah.
Puppies, maybe you should do a dog walking tour.
I probably should.
Yeah. Except I
don't.
The hopper.
I don't have a dog, so I typically do things that I do.
Mm.
It's kind of the way.
You can borrow Hans.
My wife would not like that. Lots of allergies in my family. I grew up with a dog and love dogs. And my sister has a great dog right now. Quincy, what's up? And we're in a small house, small lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
We just haven't done it. But that's all excuses. You know, it's funny because we give just like you do, we support a lot of different charities, especially if they're doing auctions and things and give gift certificates to them. And I definitely support a lot of different animal shelters. Lots of my friends do that. So I'd like if whatever they're into, I like to help give to. So you must just get get inundated at times with those types of requests. I guess, do you have a philosophy toward like – who you like to give? Is it so you care about dogs? So obviously that's something that you're helping toward. But everybody, I got one yesterday and a lady, I swear to God, it looked like she took a picture of the flyer with her camera. And then on the bottom, it said send cash donations to on it. Right. And then she emailed it to me, you know, and I don't, she means well, she's just doing whatever she's doing. But I'm thinking cash donations.
Right. So, yeah, we do get a lot. But we, you know, we try to be as helpful as we can all the time. Honestly, our goal for 2020 is to give more. And we're now doing pizza parties in our tap room.
Okay. So describe that to me.
Yeah. So our pizza party.
Because I want to go to one now.
Yeah. So we pick a we pick a charity or charities who have come to us and asked for help or donations and such. We try to focus on smaller ones, those that don't have other fundraisers or have other means of gaining donations. And we host a pizza party. So the group comes out and they actually collect all the money and we charge a very small fee for the pizza. And
so you kind of cover your cost.
Yep.
Yeah. And they've gone really well. So our goal is to do one every month. This month is actually for Old Newsboys of Flint.
Oh, what a great group.
Yeah. Okay. So theirs coming up on Sunday the 22nd. And
go to their Facebook page for the event on that if you're interested.
Yeah. So and what we found is that a lot of people will actually donate more, you know, to the charity the day of. They'll hand them, you know, extra money and just come out and have a really nice afternoon and have some pizza and pasta. And do some good stuff. So that's been our new thing
like
for
it.
2020.
I like it. Using what you have and helping that way, especially with smaller groups. Because I get inundated with requests, and I always struggle with, you know, I want to help where I can.
Yeah.
And I'll give gift certificates. I typically give like a $50 gift certificate. And I'm amazed at how they all like that. And I'm amazed at how little of them get redeemed.
Yeah.
And there were auctions where, you know, people bid.
Spent some money on it, yeah.
So I'm always like, wow, you got that. And it's not like I'm some, you know, boring event company. Like I'm a beer drinking event company.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm always surprised by that. We found it. This is what we started doing, or we've done for a few years now. We do charity bike events. And this year we're doing three of them. And our way was we wanted to help trail groups because my wife and I like biking and we love the fact that, you know, Michigan has the most rail trails in the United States of America. So there's lots of these great like nonprofit like friends of trail groups. So every trail you've ever been on that's a rail trail probably has a friends group and they're all volunteers that really care about getting people outside and enjoying outdoors. So this year we're partnering with the Friends of the Pink Creek Trail, the Michigan Airline Trail. So the Michigan Airline Trail is the newer trail. It's just opening. That's the one in Wixom. Right by Drafting Table. So if you know Drafting Table is in downtown, it kind of ends there. So National Trails Day, June 6th, for example, we're riding there toward West Bloomfield, Kego Harbor, and coming back. And the way we do that is we pick a charity that's more bike-friendly of a charity. So that one – what is my charity? That one is called Programs to Educate All Cyclists. And we pick them because they create bikes for folks with more special needs or adaptive type of cycles.
Yeah.
Right? And they're a group that probably doesn't get a lot of press, like you said, like a smaller group, right?
Because
there's tons of charities, obviously, but, you know, you want to kind of pick some, if you can, that really have that need. And they were super excited, like they hadn't really done something like that. So our idea is they run a raffle at the end. They can make money off the raffle, and then we kick back part of the ticket proceeds to them. And yeah. pretty simplistic, and they get to educate people. And we're running a different one like that on the Macomb Archer Trail, and like I said, in the spring, one on the Pink Creek Trail. And but it all came out of this trying to see what that need is in the market, just like yeah. you're doing with a pizza party. That's a clever way of doing it.
Yeah, we wanted right? something simple, kind of turnkey for us. That we
sure, that kind of fits within your system, so to speak.
Yeah, a lot of these groups don't know how to go about fundraising, or they don't have the time to go out and
right.
knock on every business door and say, hey, can you donate money? Instead, you know, they do a pizza party, invite friends, family, the community come in. We make it as simple as possible. They just mm-hmm. go there. They collect the money, and at the end, they just pay the small fee, like she said, per person, and then the rest of the money they keep. And it's just a nice, easy way to make some
and
money.
And legally, it's easier for you because exactly. they're collecting the money.
Yep.
Right? Like for us, the raffle is all handled by the nonprofit. Like legally, that's how you are supposed yeah. to be doing that. Yep. It's like things we all had to learn as business owners. Right. Like I didn't know yeah. any of that stuff. I had yeah. to have it explained
you
to me.
You have to have a license to do this.
So yeah, that, yeah. Yeah. Like it's people are like, I don't get it. You're just, I don't know, riding a bike and getting a beer. I'm like, there's a lot more to it than that. I need bonded insurance. I need the nonprofit named on the insurance. I need like all this other crap, you know. And it all that's there for a reason, and it's all good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, there's lots of learning curves right? with running yeah. a business, yeah. that's for sure.
Yeah, so true. Oh, that's really a cool way to do that. We've even done some charity walking tours and charity bus tours where the charity gets all the people to come on the tour, and then they could charge a higher price for the ticket and they keep the difference, and then we like price something a little lower to them
mm-hmm.
yeah, to kind of help them
yeah,
out.
That's
it's kind of that
up,
it's kind yeah. of the same thing, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
I
yeah.
sort of I think I had someone at one point suggest it to me that way, and then every once in a while I'll run one if you get someone who really kind of has his or her act together of and they can organize people.
Get the people.
Right. Yeah. And really it's a good use of social media. So like if the person's really behind sharing stuff, then it's successful. Mm-hmm. If they don't do that, then it's not always successful. Yeah. And it sort of puts it back on them to say, hey, go to your friends' network and tell them you care about this cause and you're doing this activity that's fun, or, you know, everyone likes pizza
yeah.
and beer and wine. So, you know, it's not like it's a hard sell. Oh, I got to sit through this presentation for 5 hours yeah. and then I'm going to get a cookie at the end. You know, like that doesn't sound
yeah,
like fun to people.
For us, we always do them Sundays at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And it's just like you're coming out for lunch.
Yeah.
Come out for lunch, have a beer, some wine. And that's
right.
it. I mean, and you're supporting a great cause that obviously you're affiliated with or something you want to support. So it makes it super easy. It only takes a couple hours at the most, but you're having lunch on a Sunday.
Yeah. And a lot of our club members come out and go to them, and it just, you know, something to do in the afternoon. And again, it makes you feel good.
Who wants to sit at home on Sunday anyhow? I want to go out and do something.
Sunday fun day, right?
Right. Totally yeah. Sunday fun day. Well, let's talk about a bunch of your other events. So besides these nice fundraising events. You guys have tons of events coming. I was trying to write it in a little small part of my notes, and then I realized, holy crap, there's all kinds of stuff in there. Besides St. Patrick's Day and Easter, where you got great stuff going on, you also got a bunch of beer releases, some beer-wine pairing dinners coming
yeah.
up. Let's talk yeah. about a few of those. Let's plug that a little bit.
Yeah, so our goal is every single Thursday that we release something new or do something new. So that can be, it can be a wine, it can be a beer, or it can be a food item. So we naturally we do these pairings at least one a month where we have a new food pairing that's not on our menu, like foods that are not on our menu, and then we pair it with our wine and beers.
Okay.
Or we have something new coming out of production, either wine or beer side. So that's every Thursday.
And we've done that consistently yeah. pretty much since we opened the facility,
yeah.
we opened the new tap room. We just said, you know what, with Tuesday's club day, Wednesday's $5 off large pizza, Thursday's release day.
Yep.
So we release something right. and we have done that consistently.
You're closed Monday. So
yeah,
you got good,
Monday,
great Tuesday, yeah. Wednesday, Thursday stuff coming on.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturdays are good days anyhow. And you got yeah. the pizza thing at least yeah. once a month.
And then Sunday's growler fill day.
Oh, yeah. So, yikes. Okay.
Yeah, discounts and growler fill. So, and we've done that consistently for now, it's what, 4 or 5 years?
Okay.
Fifth summer.
Yeah.
Ooh, fifth
yeah.
summer. Look at
fifth
you.
Summer.
Fifth
you
summer.
Fifth summer. So, yeah. And it's something we stuck to. We decided we're going to do this. And so it's every Thursday. You can just come in.
That really puts you to it.
There's going to be something new. It does.
Yeah, it challenges our team too. Sure. So either from the production side or the culinary side, it challenges them to come up with new ideas and new recipes. And it's actually a really good thing.
Yeah, we've seen some great creativity come out of it.
You know, a lot of places get stuck in their ways.
Yeah.
And the menus get flat. The beers get literally flat, right?
Yeah.
I just came up with that right now. So clever.
Yeah, so this puts us on the spot.
It really does, right? Like, this is something you didn't have before.
Yeah, we have a poster behind the bar. We have a poster for each of the days, and it's right up there. You walk in, it's one of the first things you see. It's
Thursday's release day.
And it's food, beer, wine. And then we kind of each week we talk about what we're doing and we plan them well in advance. And
so the next pairing, we're talking about spring, right? Because we all want to talk about spring.
Please
so.
Talk about spring.
So we have our spring barbecue pairing. So
that's March 26th.
Yeah. So the chef has come up with four different food items there. I know one of them is barbecue shrimp. Yum.
Wow. That sounds great. Wouldn't that go good if what we're drinking right now? I could totally have some barbecue shrimp. I'd need a nap in between this and the other show that I'm going to tape at 3, so that would throw me all off.
Some pulled pork and cornbread.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Gotta like that. And he's doing a fried chicken, too.
I like how you're looking at my notes like, if I wrote that or not. I got this written real small in like Steve Johnson writing that you probably can't read.
Code. It's in code.
Yeah. Because you probably have nice handwriting because you're a woman. Women just have better handwriting. Women just have better handwriting. They do. It's a proven fact. Look it up. Look it up. So let's see. A couple good beer releases that you guys just did. This Imperial Whiskey Stout named after you, basically, right?
Yeah.
How about that?
So my favorite whiskey is Jameson.
Okay.
If anyone knows me, they know that.
Okay.
So many years ago.
Yeah. Even in our strip mall.
It was in the small space, in the baby place.
Yeah, even
the
before,
baby place.
Yeah, even before we expanded within the strip mall, 5 gallons. So she loves Imperial Stout, big, heavy beers. Loves Jameson. So it's one of those things that. I want to create a beer that incorporates all that. So I came up with this Imperial
whiskey. He wasn't on the lawnmower this time because it was winter.
Yeah, it was winter.
Okay.
So it came.
He was on the couch, maybe?
Yeah. So I came up with this beer. It's an Imperial whiskey style. So it's a big malt bill, and it comes out anywhere from 10 to 12% ABV each year. It varies. But what I do then is I soak. So I can't just take Jameson and dump it in there. So I actually soak.
Who says?
I soak the oak chips in Jameson. I'll soak them in the Jameson for a week. It pulls all that flavor from the whiskey, and then I take the oak chips and put that in my fermenter.
Wow.
It gives it the nice whiskey flavor. It's got big malt bills. You got lots of roast and coffee flavors in there. But then you get some of the whiskey in the
That's
oak.
Something you would bring to a festival. I'm sure I've had it
and
at a festival.
You have. Brought it to many,
in fact,
many a festival.
I'm sure you've described it to me at a festival, but I was probably drunk. So I don't totally remember your description. Something with chips. I don't know. It was awesome. Super high ABV.
So this is one I've been brewing since 2011.
Okay.
It was the first time I did it, a little 5 gallon. Now we do it, and we brew it 5 barrels at a time now. And I only brew it once a year, and then we release it during St. Patrick's week. Part of the reason is, one, because whiskey, Irish, it's a great time to do it, but her birthday's also that same week. It's on the 20th.
Whoa,
March
talk
20th.
About hitting everything.
Yeah, March 20th. So
you get credit for all kinds of stuff by doing
and
that.
And
then
I
That's
named
sweet.
It after it, you know, yeah. She didn't realize I was going to do that. I named it after, I called it St. Jen's.
Your name. Now I get it. No, yeah. I got it.
There's a reason our marriage is going to be old enough to drink this year.
Right?
So we've released a new one each year since.
Like, your marriage should drink that beer is what we're
and
getting at, isn't it?
Will.
And
on
it
May
will
1st.
And it will drink that beer.
On May
1st. Yeah, we're actually
on
doing
May
a dinner 1st. On St. Patrick's Day. Matt and I are hosting a group on St. Patrick's Day, and we'll be doing a vertical tasting of 4 years.
Okay.
2015, 16, 17,
yeah, 18. I saw that. You guys have a ton of stuff going on in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to try it and have a flight of aged St. Gin's, they can.
You still
join
got
us
space on that, or did
we
just?
We have a few seats.
You have a few seats.
Yeah,
yeah. It's something that we've done a few times in the past where we'll do Well, you know, we
verticals are a lot of fun.
Yeah, we do pairings, but this one's special because not only is it St. Jen's, you're going back to 2015. We sell.
Okay. You have to save that stuff. That is not easy to save. Yeah,
so no, I would think not. I always have a hard time cellaring. I've always struggled with that. Every once in a while, I could pull off about 4 years or 5 years or something, but that is not easy.
Yeah,
when it's something you dig.
We still have some kegs.
When it's named after you, I mean, Jesus, how do you hold that back?
So, and what makes this one unique is it's a dinner with us. It's intimate, it's small.
So we got to pay extra because it's a dinner with you? Is that what you're saying? It should be that way, though. Why isn't it that way?
I know. We're happy to share.
You're the bosses. Happy.
We're just happy to share them. We'll talk about the beer. We'll talk about the food. And it's a chance for them to ask about the beer or ask any other questions they have.
Fun.
We'll hang out with you for a couple hours and have some great beer, some great food. Just sit in the back of our tap room, have a good time.
Well, I think that's a good spot to say this was a great hour talk. Wow, we didn't talk about that.
Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you for coming here and bringing wine and high octane beer blended with wine and everything. Awesome. How fun. Thanks for coming all the way down to Royal Oak, Michigan to the Podcast Detroit studios here. I want to thank Better on Draft for sponsoring the show for me. Coming up next month on episode 35, which is totally not what my notes had said. Thank you for helping me out. I'm going to have the folks from Rogue/Dark Horse. I don't know who, but I will have people from them on because they didn't tell me that yet. But let's just assume I'll have two people in here and we'll be talking about them based in Royal Oak. I haven't had a Royal Oak place on here in a while. So that should be an awesome episode. But I want to thank you guys for coming on today and making the trek in. If you want to get more information about Fenton Winery and Brewery, where should they go?
FentonBrewery.com or follow us on Instagram at DrinkFWB.
Ooh. Very good. Or Facebook, of course.
Very social.
Right?
Yeah, Facebook.
Let's not forget Facebook, right? Well, thank you. I hope you guys have a great summer season, your fifth summer. So thank you very much for coming on. Thank you guys as well for listening. If you want to learn more about my tour company, go to MotorCityBrewTours.com and find out about all the great events I got coming up. Thanks for listening to the Beer Tour Guy Show, episode 34. We're out.